Burn down all the forests. I think that's a sensible move.
Ничего,
ничего не пишите.
Пишите.
Ничего не читайте. Не
читайте.
Ничего не говорите.
Говорите.
Ничего.
Ничего не печатайте.
That makes economic.
You're absolutely performing. You're a bunch of raving nutters.
Well, is it? Yeah. Perhaps in order to inquire what you have been doing all this time, huh?
Yes.
Yes, you and that other interloper have been missing for months.
Well, with respect, love, we have been traveling around trying to find out something about this planet.
Well, that doesn't sound very productive. I mean, I thought...
No, well, I have news. Yeah. I have got news for you. It doesn't matter. A pair of fetid dingo's kidneys. What you all choose to do from now on. Burn down the forest, anything. It won't make a scrap of difference. 2 million years you've got, and that's it. At the end of that, your race will be dead, gone, and good riddance to you. Remember that. 2 million years.
Ah, it's time for another bath. Pass me the sponge, somebody, will you?
No, Q score's 10, you see, and it's on a triple word score, so... I'm sorry, but I explained the rules. No, no, look, please put down that jawbone. All right, we'll start again, and try to concentrate this time.
What are you doing, Arthur?
Trying to teach the caveman to play Scrabble. It's uphill work. The only word they know is grunt, and they can't spell it.
And would you please tell me what that is supposed to achieve?
We've got to encourage them to evolve, Ford. Can you imagine what a world is going to be like that descends from those cretins over there?
We don't have to imagine. Let's face it, we already know what it's like. We've seen it. There's no escape.
Did you tell them what we discovered?
Slarty Bartfast's signature on the glacier?
No. What's the point? Why should they listen? What's it to them that this place happens to be called the Earth?
And that it happens to be my original home?
Yeah, but you won't even be born for nearly 2 million years. So they're likely to feel that it's not a lot of your business. I mean, face up to it, Arthur. Those Zeebs over there are your ancestors, not these cavemen. Put the Scrabble away, it won't save the human race. Because Mr. Ugg here is not destined to be the human race. The human race is currently sitting round that rock over there making documentaries about themselves.
But there must be something we can do.
No, nothing. Really, nothing. Because it's all been done. I mean, listen. We've been backwards and forwards through time and ended up here. 2 million years behind where we started. But that doesn't change the future because we've seen it. I mean, wise up, kid. There's nothing you can do to change it because it's already happened.
And all because we arrived here with the Golga Frinchams in their B-Ark.
Yes.
Poor bloody caveman. It's all been a bit of a waste of time for you, hasn't it? You've been out-evolved by a telephone sanitizer.
He's pointing at the Scrabble board.
Oh, he's probably spelled library with one R again, poor bastard.
No, he hasn't.
Hey, no, look. It says 42. The experiment! It's something to do with a computer program to find the ultimate question.
Hey, you know what this means, don't you?
What?
It must have gone wrong. If the computer matrix was set up to follow the evolution of the human race through from the cavemen, and then we've arrived and caused them to die out...
And actually replaced them...
Then the whole thing is cocked up.
So whatever it was that Marvin spotted in my brainwave patterns is in fact the wrong question.
Yeah! Well, it might be right, but it's probably wrong. Oh, if only we could find out what it is.
Look... If it's printed in my brainwave patterns, but I don't know how to reach it, suppose we introduce some random element which can be shaped by that pattern.
Like?
Pulling out letters from the Scrabble bag.
Brilliant. That's bloody brilliant.
Right, right. First four letters.
W-H-A-T. What?
No more.
Yeah, D-O, do. It's working. Hey, this is terrific. It's really coming. You get... What do you get?
More here.
If you multiply... Oh, I'm beginning to get sinking feelings about this. If you multiply six by nine. By nine? Is that it?
That's it. 6 by 9, 42. I always said there was something fundamentally wrong about the universe. Mm. So what do we do now?
I guess we just swallow our pride and go and join the human race.
Yes.
Right.
It's sad, though. Just at the moment, it's a very beautiful planet.
It is. It is indeed. The rich primal greens, the river snaking off into the distance, the burning trees.
And in 2 million years, bang, it gets destroyed by the Vogons. What a life for a young planet to look forward to.
Well...
better than some. I read of one planet off in the seventh dimension that got used as a ball in a game of intergalactic bar billiards. Got potted straight into a black hole, killed 10 billion people.
Mm, total madness.
Yeah, only scored 30 points too.
Where did you read that?
Oh, a book.
Which book was that?
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, that thing.
I see trees of green.
In the last episode of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Peter Jones was the book. Simon Jones played Arthur Dent and Jeffrey McGiven, Ford Prefect. Mark Wing Davy was Zaphod Beeblebrox, Susan Sheridan, Trillian, Stephen Moore, Marvin, Beth Porter, Marketing Girl, Jonathan Cecil, Number One and Management Consultant, David Jason, Captain and Caveman, and Aubrey Woods, Number Two and the Hairdresser. The programme was written by Douglas Adams and John Lloyd and produced by Jeffrey Perkins, with the technical assistance of Alec Hale Munro and Paul Horden, and Harry Parker and Dick Mills of the BBC Radiophonic Workshop.
What a wonderful world. The colours of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They're like much more than I ever knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams. Starring Peter Jones as the book.
There is a theory which states that if ever anyone discovers exactly what the universe is for and why it is here, it will instantly disappear and be replaced by something even more bizarrely inexplicable. There is another theory which states that this has already happened. There is yet a third theory which suggests that both of the first two theories were concocted by a wily editor of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy in order to increase the level of universal uncertainty and paranoia and so boost the sales of the guide. This last theory is, of course, the most convincing, because The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is the only book in the whole of the known universe to have the words "Don't Panic" inscribed in large, friendly letters on the cover. Ursa Minor is almost certainly the most appalling place in the universe. Though it is excruciatingly rich, horrifyingly sunny, and more full of wonderfully exciting people than a pomegranate is of pips, it can hardly be insignificant that when a recent edition of the magazine Play Being headlined an article with the words, "When you are tired of Ursa Minor, you are tired of life," the suicide rate in the constellation quadrupled overnight. Play Being, a curious journal devoted in roughly equal parts to galactic politics, rock music, and gynecology, has much to answer for in this respect. The current edition carries the results of an opinion poll in which the central offices of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy have been voted the third hippest place in the whole of Ursa Minor. According to this same poll, the second hippest place in the whole of Ursa Minor is the entrance lobby to the same offices. This is what it sounds like.
Hey, hi, man.
Hi, man. How's it going, man?
Oh, great, man. Stay cool. Yeah.
Hello? Yes. Megadodo Publications, home of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the most wholly remarkable book in the whole of the known universe. Can I help you? What? Yes. Yeah, I passed your message on to Mr. Zani Whoop, but I'm afraid he's too cool to see you right now. He's on an intergalactic cruise. Yeah. He is in his office, but he's on an intergalactic cruise.
And according to this same poll in Playbeing, the hippest place in the whole galaxy is the left cranium of the fugitive galactic president, Zaphod Beeblebrox. Just entering the air traffic space of Ursa Minor Beta is an enormous Arcturan megafreighter carrying a larger number of copies of Playbeing than the mind can comfortably conceive.
Ursa Minor Beta Air Traffic Control, this is AMF-3 requesting homing beacon for planetfall. Come in, control.
Ursa Minor Beta ADC receiving you. Beacon activated. Automatic docking will proceed in 2 hours.
Acknowledged. Thank you, ATC. Oh, makes you sick, doesn't it, Captain?
What?
Look at the visi screen. See that big white city there? The whole blooming thing is just hitchhikers' offices. Palm trees and so many swimming pools, you need a bloody gondola to get about.
Well, that's success for you, isn't it?
Is it? Is it? Well, I ask myself, all gone soft, haven't they? Hitchhiking, what do they know about it? Get one of that lot to stick out their thumb, it would probably fall off. I mean, it's all just fat cat business. What's the name of that bloke who runs it now?
Max or Cat.
Well, you know what they say, don't you? They had to move to a bigger planet because he gets so fat he kept sliding off the old one. I mean, I've heard they've created a whole electronically synthesized universe in one of their offices so they can go and research stories during the day and still go to parties in the evening. Yeah, bloody clever, of course, but it's got nothing to do with the real galaxy, is it? Nothing to do with life.
Talk a lot, didn't you?
Yeah, well, there's not much else to do in these ships, is there? Great automated monsters. I've had 3 buttons to press in the past 500 light years, and that was just to put the coffee machine onto manual.
Docking 1 hour, 54 minutes.
Peter it out.
Actually, I just picked up a hitchhiker.
You what?
Odd block. He was in a bad way. He was hitching the hard way, see. So I said to myself...
Docking in 1 hour, 52 minutes.
Kevin and out.
Well, look, who is he?
I don't know. Didn't give his name, and he'd wrapped his heads in a towel, so I...
Heads?
Yes, just the 2. I put him in the sleeping quarters to recover.
I've recovered.
Who the hell are you?
Don't ask. But turn the radio on.
What? Now, look,
turn the radio on. Look, if it'll help you to do what I tell you, baby, imagine that I've got a blaster ray in my hand.
You have got a blaster ray in your hand.
So you shouldn't have to tax your imagination too hard. Turn it on.
And news reports brought to you here on the sub-ether waveband, broadcasting around the galaxy around the clock, bringing light and enlightenment to all non-evolved life forms, saying a big hello to all semi-evolved life forms, and causing severe brain damage to anyone higher up the evolutionary ladder than a demented bee. But first, the up-to-the-minute shock news. Reports have just reached us that Zaphod Beeblebrox, the only man in history to terminate his term as galactic president by stealing a spaceship he was meant to be launching, has finally met his end. Yes, the big Z is now finally Big D-E-A-D. We asked his private brain care specialist, Gag Halfront, if this was just a publicity stunt.
Well, Zaphod's just this guy, you know.
But what about these reports which say that Zaphod Beeblebrox has been eaten by Hagamenon?
Well, he's an impetuous fellow, you know.
And is now seriously dead?
Who can say?
Hagamenons are they not, super evolutionary life forms? That is to say, they can re-evolve into any shape in a matter of seconds.
They are crazy mixed-up animals, you know.
And it was while this Hagamenon had temporarily evolved into the form of the ravenous bug-bladder beast of Trial that he ate Zaphod Beeblebrox.
Well, this is what we find.
So it would be true to say that Zaphod Beeblebrox is finally dead.
True, but probably unimportant.
And why is that?
Well, Zaphod's just this guy, you know.
And now some news from some of the outlying regions of the galaxy. A report out today from the Western Spiral Arm says that the wheel is commercially unviable. Economic experts...
Look, sorry I had to wave this blaster at you, but as you just heard, I've had a bad day.
What? You mean that's you?
Yeah.
You do lead an interesting life, don't you, Mr. Beeblebrox?
It is, of course, perfectly natural to assume that everyone else is having a far more exciting time than you. Human beings, for instance, have a phrase which describes this phenomenon. The other man's grass is always greener. The Sheltenach race of Broop Kidron 13 had a similar phrase, but since their planet is somewhat eccentric, botanically speaking, the best they could manage was, the other Sheltenach's jupilberry shrub is always a more mauvey shade of pinky russet. And so the expression soon fell into disuse, and the Sheltenachs had little option but to become terribly happy and contented with their lot, much to the surprise of everyone else in the galaxy, who had not realized that the best way not to be unhappy is not to have a word for it. Arthur Dent is, of course, terribly unhappy. As is now well recorded, he and Ford Prefect escaped from the planet Earth on the day that it was unexpectedly demolished to make way for a new hyperspace bypass. Bypasses are devices which allow some people to dash from point A to point B very fast, whilst other people dash from point B to point A very fast. People living at sea, being a point directly in between, are often given to wonder what's so great about point A that so many people from point B are so keen to get there. And what's so great about point B that so many people from point A are so keen to get there? They often wish that people would just once and for all work out where the hell they want to be. Arthur Dent and Ford Prefect know exactly where they don't want to be. They don't want to be stranded on prehistoric Earth with a load of unwanted telephone sanitizers and advertising executives who have been thrown off their home planet of Golga Frinchum, a world which has subsequently been wiped out by a particularly virulent disease contracted from an unexpectedly dirty telephone. Unfortunately, that is precisely where they are. But fortunately, they have found a way of coping with their predicament. They are drunk.
Dingo's kidneys. There must be some way of getting off this planet other than getting high.
You've been saying that for 2 years.
Well, have I? Well, it must be true, then.
You've got all that electric hitchhiking equipment in your satchel, and none of it seems to do a dicky bird.
We're just too far from the space lanes. The range is limited. Wait. I've got it.
What, an answer?
Why, it's a lateral thinking problem, isn't it? Hmm? We just have to sidle up to the problem sideways when it's not looking and pounce.
Well?
I just knocked the bottle of wine over.
Have you got an answer?
No, but I've got a different name for the problem.
Let's have a drink. Here's another bottle.
Yes, all right. No, no, look, every time we get to this point, we just have another drink till we're totally slammed, and the next day start all over with...
What's the matter?
Arthur, look!
What are you looking at?
God. Yeah, it's only a bloody spaceship, isn't it? It's only hovering in the air 100 yards from us.
It looks very unreal, doesn't it? Mm. Sort of ghostly.
Yeah. We've been rescued! Come on, let's celebrate. Pass that bottle.
Right, here.
Where did it go?
What, the bottle?
No, the spaceship.
What?
It's gone. The bloody thing's gone.
Where did it go?
It just sort of winked out of existence.
Vanished.
Here.
What?
Take the bottle, I can't face it.
Ford?
Yeah?
It's there again.
So it is. Well, what's going on?
It just came again. Pop. It comes and goes like magic.
I'll tell you our trouble, mate. We're too sober by half. Come on, I will have that drink. I think I deserve...
Christ, it's gone again.
What is it? Some kind of deputation from Galactic Alcoholics Anonymous?
What do you mean by that?
Well, haven't you noticed? Every time I put down the bottle, it appears. And every time I pick it up again, it disappears. Look, look, I put it down. There it is.
It's back again.
I pick it up and poof.
It's gone.
Here.
Gone.
Here.
Gone.
See? It works.
But that's mad.
Well, mad it may be, mate, but I'll tell you one thing. I'm not touching another drop of your filthy elderflower stuff till we're safely out of this solar system. That's it. I've got it.
It's an intelligence test.
Yes. No. 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 No, it isn't. It isn't at all. Because that suggests someone's doing it deliberately, and that's not it. Oh. No, no, no. There's a time paradox going on. Mm-hmm. We're caught at the crossroads of two alternative futures. You see?
No.
No, I thought you wouldn't. Listen, the ship first appeared when I said, you know, let's actually sit down and work out this problem of getting off this planet, right?
Yes.
And then every time we reached for the bottle instead, or just expected the problem to solve itself, the ship disappeared.
Right.
So, in one of the alternative futures, we work out a way of signalling to a ship, which then returns through time to pick us up. And in the other alternative, we just get drunk and ignore the problem, so no solution, no ship. I wonder what Rooster would do.
Who's Rooster?
Mate of mine. Another researcher on the guide. Great little thinker, Rooster. Great hitcher.
He's a guy who really knows where his towel is.
Knows what?
Where his towel is.
Why should he want to know where his towel is?
Everybody should know where his towel is.
I think your head's come undone.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy has this to say on the subject of towels. A towel, it says, is about the most massively useful thing any interstellar hitchhiker can carry. For one thing, it has great practical value. You can wrap it around you for warmth on the cold moons of Jaglan Beta, sunbathe on it on the marble beaches of Santraginus V, huddle beneath it for protection from the Acturan meganats as you sleep beneath the stars of Kakrafoon. Use it to sail a mini-raft down the slow, heavy River Moth. Wet it for use in hand-to-hand combat. Wrap it round your head to avoid the gaze of the ravenous bug-bladder beast of Trial, which is such a mind-bogglingly stupid animal, it assumes that if you can't see it, it can't see you. And even dry yourself off with it if it still seems clean enough.
Those were the really great days of hitchhiking, of course. A man and his towel pitted against the universe. I mean, that lot down there in them offices, I wouldn't give you an old face flannel for the lot of them. No disrespect to you, of course, Mr. Beeblebrox. Mr. President, sir, you're a different...
Talk a lot, don't you? How soon till we dock at Ursa Minor, Peter?
30 minutes.
Okay. Now, I can't risk being found in this freighter. I'd better go down in one of your EVA pods. Should slip under the radar screens, okay? Thanks for the ride, guys.
But, why are you going to Ursa Minor Beta if you want to stay hidden?
I just wanted to find out what I'm doing.
What?
Well, last night, after I escaped from the Hagunana...
Oh, yeah, how did you...
I went, like, into a deep coma and got this message from a person I admire, respect, and deeply love.
Who was that, then?
Me.
What, a message from yourself?
Yeah, it was a message I'd implanted in my own mind 20 years ago, which was triggered off by the coma. And it just told me that the time had come, and I had to go and see this dude I'd never heard of who would tell me something to my disadvantage.
Disadvantage?
Yeah, so I had to go, didn't I?
Why don't you tie a knot in your hanky like anyone else?
Style, friend, style. Now, come on, I gotta go.
No, but can I just ask you...
Yeah, what is it?
That Hagunenon ate you... How did you escape?
Oh, no problem. It was a super-evolving species, right?
Yes.
It ate me whilst it was playing at being the ravenous bug-bladder beast of Trial. And then, like seconds later, made the mistake of re-evolving into a really neat little escape capsule.
It evolved into an escape capsule?
Yeah.
But that is really incredible.
Yeah. I can't help it if I'm lucky.
Several hours later, 5 billion tons of Playbeing magazine were unloaded on Ursa Minor Beta, causing a slight but largely irrelevant shift in its orbital trajectory. A few hours later still, Zaphod Beeblebrox, the owner of what Playbeing readers had deemed the hippest place in the universe, walked into the entrance lobby of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, deemed merely the second hippest place in Ursa Minor. Zaphod Beeblebrox does not like Ursa Minor either.
Okay, where's Zaniwoop? Get me Zaniwoop.
Excuse me, sir?
Zaniwoop, get him, right? Get him now.
Well, sir, if you could be a little cool about it...
Look, I'm up to here with cool, okay? I am so amazingly cool, you could keep a sight of meat in me for a month. I am so hip, I have difficulty seeing over my pelvis. Now, will you move before I blow it?
Well, if you'd let me explain, sir. I'm afraid that isn't possible right now, as Mr. Zaniwoop is on an intergalactic cruise.
When's he gonna be back?
Back, sir? Well, he's in his office.
This cat's on an intergalactic cruise in his office?
Yes, sir.
Listen, Three Eyes, don't you try to outweird me. I get stranger things than you free with my breakfast cereal.
Well, just who do you think you are, honey? Zaphod Beeblebrox or something?
Yeah, count the heads.
Well, I'm sorry, sir, but... What did you say?
Oh, photons.
You are Zaphod Beeblebrox?
Yeah, but don't shout or they'll all want one.
The Zaphod Beeblebrox?
No, just a Zaphod Beeblebrox. Didn't you hear? I come in six packs.
But, sir, it was on the sub-ether radio this morning. It said you were dead.
Yeah, that's right. I just haven't stopped moving yet. Now, where do I find Zaniwoop?
Well, sir, his office is on the fifth floor.
But he's on an intergalactic cruise. Yeah, yeah. How do I get to him?
Well, the newly installed Sirius Cybernetics elevators are in the far corner, sir.
Sirius Cybernetics? Oh, Zarquan, haven't they collapsed yet?
Sir, can I ask why you want to see Mr. Zaniwoop?
Yeah, I told myself I needed to.
Come again, sir?
I came to myself in a dream and said, go see Zaniwoop. Never heard of the cat before, but I seemed very insistent.
Oh, Mr. Beeblebrox, sir, you're so weird, you should be in pictures.
Yeah, baby, and you should be in real life.
It will take Zaphod Beeblebrox at least 30 seconds to cross the entrance lobby of the hitchhiker offices, and at least another 3 minutes will then elapse before the offices are finally bombed to bits. It would therefore seem an appropriate moment to recount that Trillian also effected a fortuitous escape from the Hagunennons, only to be carried off and forcibly married to the president of the Algolian chapter of the Galactic Rotary Club. Whilst Marvin, the paranoid android, has survived a remarkable and unwieldy series of adventures which he has never been able satisfactorily to explain, and has now, by the most amazing coincidence, arrived exactly here.
Excuse me.
Yes, sir. Can I help you?
I doubt it.
Oh, well, in that case, if you'll just
no
excuse me.
No one can help me.
Yes, sir.
Well, not that anyone's ever tried, of course.
Is that so?
Hardly worth anyone's while, really, is it?
I'm sorry,
I mean,
sir, but if you...
What's the percentage of being kind or helpful to a robot if it doesn't have any gratitude circuit?
And you don't have any.
I've never had occasion to find out.
Listen to me, you miserable heap of maladjusted metal.
Aren't you going to ask me what I want?
Is it worth it?
Is anything?
What do you want?
I'm looking for someone.
Who?
Zaphod Beeblebrox. He's just walking over there.
Ah, then why did you ask me?
I just wanted someone to talk to.
What? Oh.
Pathetic, isn't it? Goodbye.
Oh,
Marvin! How did you get here?
Don't ask.
But hey, you crazy, psychotic cybernaut, how are you, kid?
I'm all right if you happen to like that sort of thing, which personally I don't.
Yeah, yeah.
Hello.
Hello, lift.
I am to be your elevator for this trip to the floor of your choice. I have been designed by the Sirius Cybernetics Corporation to take you, the visitor to the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, into these, their offices. If you enjoy your ride, which will be swift and pleasurable, then you may care to experience some of the other elevators which have recently been installed in the offices of the Galactic Tax Department, Boobaloo Baby Foods, and the Sirian State Mental Hospital, where many ex-Sirius Cybernetics Corporation executives will be delighted to welcome your visits, sympathy, and happy tales of life out in the big wide world.
Yeah, what else do you do besides talk?
I go up or down.
Good, we're going up.
Or down.
Yeah, okay, up, please.
Down's very nice.
Oh, yeah?
Super.
Good, now, will you take us up?
May I ask if you've considered all the possibilities that down might offer you?
Like what?
Well, there's the basement, the microfiles, the heating system. Nothing particularly exciting, I'll admit, but they are alternative possibilities.
Oh, Zarquan's knees, did I ask for an existential elevator? What's the matter with the thing?
It doesn't want to go up. I think it's afraid.
Of what? Heights? An elevator that's afraid of heights?
Of the future.
The future? What does it want, a pension scheme?
All Sirius Cybernetics elevators can see into the future. It's part of our programming. Going down.
Marvin, just get this elevator to go up, will you? We've got to get to Zani Whoop.
Why?
I don't know, but when I find him, he'd better have one hell of a good reason for me wanting to see him.
It should be explained at this point that modern elevators are strange and complex entities. The ancient electric winch and maximum capacity 8-persons jobs bear as much relation to a Sirius Cybernetics Corporation happy vertical people transporter as a packet of peanuts does to the entire west wing of the Sirian State Mental Hospital. This is because they operate on the unlikely principle of defocused temporal perception, a curious system which enables the elevator to be on the right floor to pick you up even before you knew you wanted it, thus eliminating all the tedious chatting, relaxing, and making friends that people were previously forced to do whilst waiting for elevators. Not unnaturally, many lifts imbued with intelligence and precognition became terribly frustrated with the mindless business of going up or down, experimented briefly with the notion of going sideways as a sort of existential protest, demanded participation in the decision-making process, and finally took to sulking in basements. At this point, a man called Gogrilla Mincefriend rediscovered and patented a device he had seen in a history book called a staircase.
It has been calculated that his most recent tax bill paid for the social security of 5,000 redundant Sirius Cybernetics workers, the hospitalization of 100 Sirius Cybernetics executives, and the psychiatric treatment of over 17,500 neurotic lifts. Fifth floor, and remember, I'm only doing this because I like your robot.
Thanks, a bundle. Hey, what's that noise?
I expect it's the future that I was so worried about, and it's about to get worse. So if you don't mind, I'm going straight back down. Bye now.
Left in the lurch by a lift. Hey, you know something, Marvin?
More than you can possibly imagine.
I'm dead certain this building shouldn't be shaking. Either they've got some vibro system for toning up your muscles while you work, or the building's being bombed. Who in the galaxy would want to bomb a publishing company?
Another publishing company.
Beeblebrox, over here!
No, Beeblebrox's over here. Who are you?
A friend.
Oh, yeah? Anyone's friend in particular, or just generally well-disposed to people?
Did you know your building's being bombed? What do you expect? Ever since you arrived on this planet last night, you've been going round telling people that you're safe at Beeblebrox, but they're not to tell anyone else.
Well, I'm very insecure.
So's this planet now.
What is that? A whole battle fleet out there?
It's your government out to get you, Beeblebrox. They sent a squadron of Frogstar fighters.
Frogstar fighters? Zarkmon!
You see the picture?
What are Frogstar fighters?
Get down!
That was a Frogstar fighter?
No, that was a Frogstar scout robot out looking for you.
Yeah? Hey, what was that?
That was a Frogstar scout robot Class B out looking for you.
Hey, yeah. And that?
A Frogstar robot Class C out looking for you.
Pretty stupid robots, huh?
Yeah.
Holy Frogtron, what was that?
A Frogstar robot Class D. I should imagine it's just picked up the reports from the first three and has come to get you.
Well, we've got to get out of here. Marvin?
What do you want?
See that robot coming towards us?
I suppose you want me to stop it.
Yeah.
What do you say to your skin?
Yeah.
Down this way. Zarniwoop's office.
Is this the time to keep an appointment?
It's our only hope of escape. He's got a whole different universe in his office.
Marvin, it's all yours.
Thanks a heap.
Out of my way, little robot.
I'm afraid I've been left here to stop you.
You? Stop me? Go on.
No, really, I have.
What are you armed with?
Guess.
Guess?
Yes, go on, you'll never guess.
Laser beam?
No.
No. Too obvious, I suppose. How about an electron ram?
What's that?
One of these.
No, not one of those.
Good though, isn't it?
Very good.
I know. It must be... On a seaboard with the twirls, you know, whoosh.
No, you're thinking along the wrong lines, you know. You're failing to take into account something fairly basic in the relationship between men and robots.
I know it. I've seen them. They're quite big.
Just think. They left me an ordinary menial robot to stop you, a gigantic heavy-duty battle machine, whilst they ran off to save themselves. What do you think they would leave me with?
Well, something pretty damn devastating, I would expect.
Expect? Oh, yes, expect. I'll tell you what they gave me to protect myself with, shall I?
Yes, all right.
Nothing.
What?
Nothing at all. Not an electronic sausage.
Whoa. Doesn't that just take the biscuit?
And me with this terrible pain in all the diodes down my left side.
Yeah? Oh, that makes me angry. Think I'll smash that wall down.
That's very impressive.
Oh, you ain't seen nothing yet. I can take this floor out too. No trouble. Oh, dear.
What a depressingly stupid machine.
The building's on fire.
You certainly make an entrance, don't you, Beeblebrox?
Well, it's a terrible building anyway.
Don't panic.
How do we get to this universe, then?
I'm afraid it looks like we don't.
Hey, what? The building's cracking down the middle.
Yes, that's not all. Look down at the ground.
Hey, the ground's going away. Where are they taking it?
They're not. They're taking the building. We're airborne.
Look, what have I done to deserve this? I walk into a building, they take it away.
Let me introduce myself. My name's Rooster, and this is my towel.
Hi, Rooster. Hello, towel. Where are they taking us?
The Frog Star.
Who is the mysterious Rooster? Who is the even more mysterious Zarniwoop, and why hasn't he even appeared yet? What will Zaphod's bewildering mission turn out to be? Will it be something he finds stimulating and challenging, or will it just be a monster wanting to take over the universe for no very good reason? How long will Ford and Arthur have to stay on the wagon, and when will they be reunited with everyone else in the story? Tune into the next exasperating series of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and find out.
In that episode of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Peter Jones was the book. Simon Jones, Arthur Dent, Jeffrey McGiven, Ford Prefect and Frogstar Robot, Stephen Moore, Marvin, Mark Wing Davy, Zaphod Beeblebrox, Bill Patterson, Assistant Arcturan Pilot, David Tate, the Captain, the Receptionist and the Lift, and Alan Ford, Rooster. Radiophonic sound and music by Paddy Kingsland, and further technical jiggery-pokery by John Whitehall and Alec Hale Munro. The programme was written by Douglas Adams and produced by Jeffrey Perkins. The magazine Playbeing can be obtained over-the-counter from any moderately disreputable galactic newsagent. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams, starring Peter Jones as the Book.
Notwithstanding, the universe continues unabated. Its history is terribly long and awfully difficult to understand, even in its simpler moments, which are, roughly speaking, the beginning and the end. The wave harmonic theory of historical perception, in its simplest form, states that history is an illusion caused by the passage of time, and that time is an illusion caused by the passage of history. It also states that one's perception of these illusions is conditioned by three important factors: who you are, where you are, and when you last had lunch with Zaphod Beeblebrox. Zaphod Beeblebrox's last meal was taken at the restaurant at the end of the universe, since when he has been catapulted through time in a Hagunenon spaceship, eaten by a carbon copy of the ravenous bug-blatter beast of Tral, received strange and unedifying instructions from himself in his sleep, and in consequence made his way to the office building of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which was then unaccountably attacked by a squadron of Frogstar fighters, hauled in its entirety off the surface of the planet, and is now carrying Zaphod and his mysterious new friend Rooster in the general direction of the even more mysterious Frogstar. He is, therefore, not unnaturally feeling a little peckish.
Hey, Rooster, is there anything to eat in this situation?
Here, Zaphod, suck this.
You want me to suck your towel?
The yellow stripes are high in protein. The green ones have vitamin B and C complexes, and the little pink flowers contain wheat germ extract.
What are the brown stains?
Barbecue sauce.
Ugh! Yeah, oh, it tastes as bad as it looks.
Yes. When I've had to suck that end a bit, I usually need to suck the other end too.
Why, what's in that?
Antidepressants.
Much has been written on the subject of towels, most of which stresses the many practical functions they can serve for the modern hitchhiker. Two seminal books are Wordle Sneng's compendious tome, Bath Sheets in Space, which is far too large to carry but sits magnificently on fashionable coffee tables, and Frat Gad's handbook, Heavily Modified Face Flannels, an altogether terse work for masochists. However, only the Hitchhiker's Guide explains that the towel has a far more important psychological value, in that anyone who can hitch the length and breadth of the galaxy, rough it, slum it, struggle against mind-boggling odds, win through, and still know where his towel is clearly a man to be reckoned with. Hence a phrase which has passed into hitchhiking slang, as in, "Hey, you sass that hoopy, Ford Prefect. There's a prude who really knows where his towel is." Sass means know, be aware of, meet, have sex with. Hoopy means really together guy, and frude means really amazingly together guy. Meanwhile, important questions are beginning to frame themselves in Zaphod Beeblebrox's mind.
Hey, Rooster, where did you say this building was flying to?
The Frog Star, the most totally evil place in the galaxy.
Do they have food there?
Food? Have you the faintest idea what's going to happen to you at the Frog Star?
They're going to feed me?
They're going to feed you, all right.
Great.
They're going to feed you into the Total Perspective Vortex.
The Total Perspective Vortex? Hey, what's that, man?
Only the most savage psychic torture a sentient being can undergo.
So no food, huh?
The treatment lasts 1 second, but the effects last your lifetime.
You ever had a pangalactic goggle blaster?
This is worse.
Free-ow.
Ah, hello there. You must be Zaphod Beeblebrox, yes?
Yeah. Hey, who are you?
I'm the Frogstar Prisoner Relations Officer, and I'm just popping by.
How did you get here?
Oh, the usual thing. Work my way up the ranks.
No. I mean, how did you get here? You just popped out of nowhere like a large drinks bill.
I know. It's disconcerting, isn't it? Look, I just popped along to see how you were getting on. Enjoying the trip?
No, not at all.
Oh. Well, it'll soon be over. We should be arriving at the Frogstar in an hour or so. It is, as you may know, the most totally evil place in the galaxy. Even I find it pretty horrifying, and I'm one of the most evil people on it.
Yeah?
Oh, yes. You're quite staggeringly nasty. Anyway, enough of me. How about you? Is there anything in particular you want?
Be careful.
What?
This guy is evil. He's from the Frogstar.
Ease up, man. He's just asked me if there's anything I wanted.
But... Come on, Mr. Beeblebrox. Zaphod. What would you like? What would you really like?
A steak. A big, juicy steak.
Beefsteak?
Yeah.
Delicious.
And
some wine?
Algolian Claret.
The 91?
The 94.
Oh, excellent choice. Anything else?
That'll do me just fine.
Right. Turn the fire hoses on him.
Hey, what?
Enjoy your trip. Bye now.
Don't say that I didn't warn you, Beeblebrox.
Well, what the hell was the point of all that?
They're just playing with you, softening you up. I told you, they're going to put you into the Total Perspective Vortex.
What is this thing? What does it do?
The principle is very simple.
Though the principle on which the Total Perspective Vortex works is indeed very simple, it will not for the moment be revealed. The purpose of this deliberate withholding of vital information is to occasion sensations of suspense, fear, and anxiety within the legal limits laid down by the Galactic Statute of Narrative Practice. These sensations can be emphasized further by reference to this recording of a man being put in the vortex. And this one. And this one. Provided that equal emphasis is given to the fact that one man in the entire history of the cosmos did survive its effects unharmed.
to establish the identity of this man and see how he achieved it, it is now necessary to travel 2 million years backwards in time to where Ford Prefect and Arthur Dent are stranded in the primeval past of the utterly insignificant planet Earth. They are faced with a problem, in that a spaceship which has apparently traveled back in time to rescue them cannot materialize until they have worked out a way of sending a message forward in time to summon it. This is clearly a terribly convoluted temporal paradox of mind-mangling complexity.
Perhaps we could wave your towel at it.
You know what your trouble is, Arthur? You've got as much grasp of multi-temporal causality as a concussed bee.
Oh, you don't think it would work, then?
No. That ship hovering there is only a potential ship, the possibility of one.
We could still wave at it.
Yeah, very friendly, but chronologically inept. Listen. We have to send a message forward in time.
Yes?
To where that spaceship is going to be.
We don't know where.
No.
We don't know when.
No.
And anyway, we haven't got a time machine.
No.
So?
You're right.
What?
We might just as well wave a towel at it.
Right.
Hello!
Hello!
Hello! Spaceship!
We're just down here!
Cooey!
Cooey!
Ford! It's coming down. Look, it's coming down to us.
I don't believe it. It's impossible.
But it's happening.
I don't like the look of that.
What?
It's wobbling. I think it's going to crash.
Fire your retro rockets, you idiot! Too hard! Much too hard!
Run, Arthur. Run for your life. Make for the hill.
What hill?
Well, there was a hill there a moment ago.
What, that rather nice one with all the daffodils?
Damn the daffodils. The whole hill's gone.
The ground's heaving beneath us.
That ship's caught in a bloody earthquake.
Look, the hill's come back. It's erupting. We must be on a volcanic fault.
What?
We did it.
Yeah.
We flagged down a logically non-existent spaceship with a towel.
Yeah, great.
Marvelous.
Wonderful.
Terrific.
Tell me, Arthur.
Yes?
This boulder we're stuck under, how big would you say it was, roughly?
About the size of Coventry Cathedral.
Do you think we could move it? Just asking. Can you feel my rucksack anywhere?
Here.
You see, it's in these sorts of situations that it's really good to have a guide to help you.
What?
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It tells you what to do in any eventuality.
What, even being stuck in a crack in the ground beneath a giant boulder which you can't move with no hope of rescue?
Yeah. It'll have something. Watch.
What to do if you find yourself stuck in a crack in the ground underneath a giant boulder you can't move with no hope of rescue? Consider how lucky you are that life has been good to you so far. Alternatively, if life hasn't been good to you so far, which, given your current circumstances, seems more likely, consider how lucky you are that it won't be troubling you much longer.
It's time I did something about that book.
Shame we lost the towel.
What happened to it?
Blew away in the wind. Fell in the river and a stream of lava rolled over it.
It'll give the archaeologists something to think about. Prehistoric towel discovered in lava flow. Was God a Marks and Spencer sales assistant? What are you doing, Arthur?
Feeling the rock above my head. It seems to be humming.
Humming?
Why should a rock hum?
Perhaps it feels about being a rock.
No, I mean it's vibrating. As if it's got an engine in it.
You're crazy. A rock with an engine in it.
Who would want a motorized rock?
Another motorized rock?
Look, Ford, it's cracking. There's a hatchway opening underneath it.
Wow, this is one strange rock.
Look at the light streaming out. Did you ever see anything like that before?
Not when I've been in a legal state of mind.
Look, a figure silhouetted against the light, coming down the ramp, walking towards us.
Staggering towards us.
It's hard to see, so much light.
He's in a bad way.
He's stumbling towards a crack in the ground. Look, he's going to fall.
Look out! Zarkon. You know who I think that is?
The faces look familiar.
Yeah.
It's Zaphod. What's he doing coming out of a rock?
Well, who says he needs a reason? Well, come on, we've got to help him.
Zaphod? Zaphod, you seem to have fallen down a 30-foot hole.
I think he knows that.
Is he all right?
What does it look like? Zaphod? Zaphod, what happened to you?
My head hurts.
Can you tell me what happened?
They took me to the Frog Star.
The Frogstar?
What's the Frogstar?
Shh! I've been in the total perspective vortex.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What's the total...
Quiet.
Ford, I'm very ill.
Well, if you've been in that thing...
Very ill. Very, very ill.
What's the vortex?
The vortex is the worst thing that can happen to anybody.
Oh, no, the vortex was okay, but afterwards...
Afterwards? After the vortex?
Yeah, well, I had to celebrate, didn't I? I'd been drunk for a week. Oh, my heads are killing me. Look, will you help me?
Hi there, guys. This is Eddie, your shipboard computer, welcoming you back on board the starship Heart of Gold. We are currently heading away from planet Earth on improbability drive, and all systems are just tickety-boo. Here we are again, happy as can be.
Yeah, okay. Well, guys, you must be so amazingly glad to see me, you can't even find words to tell me what a cool fruit I am.
What? What?
I know how you feel. I'm so great I get tongue-tied talking to myself. Hey, it's good to see you, Ford and Monkey Man.
Listen, I come from an ancient and distinguished race.
Of hairdressers.
Thank you, Ford.
Hey, Zaphod!
Hey, Ford, put it there!
Hey!
Yeah, and there!
Hey!
And there!
Hey!
And there! Whoa!
But look, how did you escape from the Hag and Nenon?
Simple, I got lucky.
How did you get this ship back?
I got lucky.
But how did you find us?
I got your towel.
What?
Mailed by meteorite. Hey, that was a really neat trick. How did you do it?
Do what?
Get the towel fossilized so when the planet blows up, 2 million years later, it gets hurled off into space and picked up by the improbability drive.
Hey?
How did you work it all out?
We didn't. I just dropped the towel.
Oh, so you got lucky too. That's cool. Hey, man, we are going to need a lot of luck where we are going next.
Where's that?
I'll tell you when you've asked me what happened on the Frogstar.
What's the Frogstar?
I thought you'd never ask.
Many stories are told of Zaphod Beeblebrox's journey to the Frogstar. 10% of them are 95% true, 14% of them are 65% true, 35% of them are only 5% true, and all the rest of them are told by Zaphod Beeblebrox. Only one wholly accurate account exists, and that is locked in a trunk in the attic of Zaphod's favourite mother, Mrs. Alice Beeblebrox of 10 to the 8th Astral Crescent, Zuvruzelchester, Betelgeuse 5. Though countless people have tried cajolery, bribery or threats to get hold of it, she has carefully guarded it from all eyes for many years, waiting for what she calls the right price. But one fairly well-documented episode is referred to by Beeblebroxologists as the "Hey, Rooster, I've just had this really hoopy idea" incident.
Hey, Rooster, I've just had this really hoopy idea. We're in this wrecked building, right?
Right.
And the building's in this really amazing force bubble, right?
Right.
And the force bubble's flying through interstellar space, right?
Right.
And there are 7 Frogstar fighters towing us at about hyperspeed 12 to the Frogstar, right?
It had better be a good idea, Beeblebrox.
Oh, it's a smash! You want to hear it?
Okay.
Let's go to a discotheque.
Are you crazy?
What's the matter? Don't you like discotheques? Look, I got this free invite some cat was giving out in the street. Here it is.
Ah, oh, I'm with you, Beeblebrox. You reckon we could slide this plastic invite into a door lock, break out of the building, climb into one of the Frogstar fighters, and then maybe overpower all the guards with this terrifying, small, plastic card?
Look at the card, will you?
Wormhole Disco. Loudest noise on Betelgeuse. Free body debit for one night only. What's a body debit?
Oh, you have been roughing it for too long, Rooster. You missed out on progressive consumerism. Look, an old-style credit card, you press the panel on the card, it makes an instant debit on your bank account and an instant credit to the shop's account, right?
I prefer hard cash. If you can't scratch a window with it, I don't accept it.
Yeah, but get this. Body debit means you press this card and it debits all your molecules from where you're standing and your body goes into credit somewhere else.
In the disco.
Right.
Escape.
Yeah.
It had better be a good disco.
Listen, if it was a good disco, they wouldn't have to give away body debit cards. Right, Rooster, we are going to groove our way out of here. We did it!
What did you say?
I said we did it!
What did you say?
What?
I said, what did you say?
I can't hear!
What?
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 Hi there, baby.
Hi there.
You want to dance?
Oh, do I look like I want to dance?
You look like it to me.
I must have got my wrong body on.
Suit yourself, then. Hi there, baby. You want to dance?
Hi there, baby.
Me
people, Brox. All these dancers, they're robots.
They're just to make the place look crowded, give it some atmosphere.
But there aren't any real people here at all.
So what's new? What's up?
I just walked past this nozzle in the wall. It's spraying the smell of hot sweat over everything.
Oh, yeah, okay, let's get out of here. Can you see a door?
Yeah, it's right in the far corner.
Let's go.
You cannot go. You must have a good time.
I'm trying to have a good time. I'm trying to go.
Turn up the music.
Turn up the music.
Turn up the music.
Turn up the music. Oh.
You must have a good time.
You must go.
Must be the worst good time I ever had.
Still, we're free.
There you are. Splendid.
You! Hey, man, how did you get to be here?
Me? I came the simple way, down the stairs.
Down the stairs? To Ursa Minor?
Hey, you must be unbelievably fit.
I'm afraid you're not on, Ursa Minor. We didn't let you out of the building. This has all been a little in-flight entertainment.
You call that entertainment?
Not for you, for me. Well, I'm afraid I must leave you now.
Oh, and just when I was really getting to dislike you.
I feel very privileged to have been able to bring a little unnecessary unpleasantness into your life, Mr. Beeblebrox, sir.
Fine.
Oh, I wonder if you'd like to sign an autograph for me.
An autograph? You must be several light years out of your skull, baby.
Could I have a photo of you here, if you could just see your way.
Oh, come on, go suck a neutron star, will you?
Please, look, have a look at this one.
Hey, that's quite a nice pic. Yeah. Let's see it. Yeah, okay, let's, look, with, deep anger and resentment, say for okay.
Thank you. It's not for my daughter, you understand. It's for me. I have to put it in the Frogstar record office attached to a statement saying that you went into the vortex of your own free will.
Baby, I think there's some problem with your respiration.
Oh, what?
You're breathing.
Well, that's not a problem.
It is from where I'm standing. Here, let me tie a knot in your neck.
If you try and strangle me, Beeblebrox, you'll regret it.
Yeah, not half as much as you will.
Oh, don't say I didn't warn you.
Rooster, did you see that? The guy vanished whilst I had my hands round his neck. Oh! I think I've broken my thumb on my other thumb. Rooster, where are you?
Beeblebrox, you are on your own now. You have arrived on the Frogstar.
Hey, what? Who are you?
I am Gargavar. I am the custodian of the Total Perspective Vortex.
Hi.
Hello?
Hello. Why can't I see you? Why aren't you here?
I am here. At least my mind is. My body wanted to come, but it's a bit busy at the moment. Things to do, people to see. You know how it is with bodies.
I thought I did.
I hope it's gone in for surgery. The way it's been living recently, it must be on its last elbows.
Elbows? You mean its last legs?
I know what I mean.
Okay, wild.
So you are to be put into the vortex, yes?
Well, this cat's in no hurry, you know. I can just slouch about, taking a look at the local scenery, you know.
Have you seen the local scenery?
No. Okay, well, I'll just slouch about then.
No, the vortex is ready for you now. You must come. Follow me.
Yeah. How am I meant to do that?
I'll hum for you. Just follow the humming.
Okay. Anything for a weird life?
The universe, as has been observed before, is an unsettlingly big place, a fact which, for the sake of a quiet life, most people tend to ignore. Many would happily move to somewhere rather smaller of their own devising, and this is what most beings, in fact, do. For instance, in one corner of the eastern galactic arm lies the great forest planet Oglaroon, the entire intelligent population of which lives permanently in one fairly small and crowded nut tree, in which tree they are born, live, fall in love, carve tiny speculative articles in the bark on the meaning of life, the futility of death, and the importance of birth control, fight a few very minor wars, and eventually die strapped to the underside of some of the less accessible outer branches. In fact, the only Oglerunians who ever leave their tree at all are those who are hurled out for the heinous crime of wondering whether any of the other trees might be capable of supporting life at all, or indeed be anything other than illusions brought on by eating too many Oglernuts. Exotic though this behavior may seem, there is no life form in the galaxy not in some way guilty of the same thing, which is why the total perspective vortex is as horrific as it undoubtedly is. For when you are put in the vortex, you are given just one momentary glimpse of the size of the entire unimaginable infinity of creation, along with a tiny little marker saying, "You are here."
Hey, man, what was that?
A man being put in the vortex, I'm afraid.